welcome to Incorruptible Mass. Our mission here is to help us all transform state politics, because we know that we could have laws that support the needs of the vast majority of the people who live in our beautiful state. And today we are talking about how the media does not expect for conservatives to govern. They only put all of that burden on the Democrats, and how that affects all sorts of issues from abortion to climate to taxation, including all sorts of state issues and local issues and national issues. But before we talk about that, I will have my my co-patriots, my normal folks here who are always with me. I'm going to have you introduce yourselves, and I will start with Jonathan Cohn.
Jonathan Cohn, he, him, his, joining from Boston, right by the Huntington Theater and Symphony Hall. They've been active in a progressive issue and electoral advocacy in Massachusetts for a decade now. It's always wild to say.
And George.
Jordan Berg Powers, he, him. I am a former runner of the state table in Massachusetts on the C4 side, and I am a longtime political activist in and around Massachusetts, and I live in Worcester.
And I am Anna Callahan, she, her, coming at you from Medford, where I am a city councilor. I have been for a long time pretty interested, especially in local politics across the country, also in state politics, and very excited, always, as always, to be here with these two wonderful folks and also with you, our fantastic listeners. So let's kick it off with just a little discussion about how, you know, the media really treats the two sides very differently. And I would love to start with this idea that, like, people on the left have to be somewhat reasonable and people on the right can be completely crazy, which to me, the one that is the most, you know, strident has been the way that the media often just had this sort of both sides-ism around climate change believers and climate change deniers, as if those two sides are equally valid and equally reasonable and equally, you know, worthy of being put up in the press. But please jump in with that issue or other issues as you see them in the media.
Yeah, I'll just say really quickly that it's really frustrating. Everybody, from the fact that the Republican Party actually has no platform, which is like barely news. But that's an amazing thing to say, that a party has no desire to pass things, and has no vision for what it wants to do beyond just sort of like reacting to whatever cultural war has popped up, the hate, whoever group they want to hate. And that feeds into all sections of the conservative movement. And so you get things like the Chamber of Commerce is proposes things that cost money, but never is expected to answer how to pay for it. You have groups like Mass Fiscal Alliance and taxation groups who are extremist organizations who oppose any forms of taxation. And they never, no one ever explains how things get paid for. And the media just frontlines their quotes because it sees like, oh, I got to put somebody else on the other side of that. I'll say also the other thing about that asymmetry that is really frustrating is this is, you know, the what happened with Trump around the around his so-called abortion stance. NPR quoted two groups of people in its first article that I put up online about it. It got a Republican who was like, I support Trump, whatever he does, and then a conservative activist who was like, I can't believe this is a thing. You would never have an article about the minimum wage, which only features left-leaning people's thoughts on it. But yet you are allowed in the media to have conservatives be the only people speak to an issue. And that regularly happens in Massachusetts media, where you will get an article where the Democratic position will be right of center, and the only quote will be from Paul Kearney, or Paul Carney from Mass Fiscal Alliance, the extremist organization. And there's nothing in the media, there's no editor saying like, oh, well, you got to get the other side to that.
Yeah.
Right? There's a complete asymmetry that you, there's not an, and even in those quotes that get quoted from that extremist position are never tethered, they're never re required to be tethered to the realities of governing, which is that, like, if you want something, you have to pay for it. You have to figure out how to pay for it. What is the plan to pay for it if you oppose if you oppose everything and don't want to pay for anything?
Totally.
What's the plan?
And I would also bring up abortion as a thing, like proving that the Republican Party doesn't have anything on their platform, because like abortion, getting rid of abortion was one of the few things on their platform. And now that they've done it, they're all walking back like, well, we didn't mean it that way. Like, oh, actually, we're just gonna leave it up to the states. Oh, well, you know, maybe the 6 week, maybe an 8 week, maybe, you know. So they're no longer, they're kind of walking away from that because it was so extreme that now
Yeah, but I
all
think
those
also
people
because
are changing.
the media frontlined a position that was inherently stupid,
Yeah.
right? Like for 50 years, the conservative movement has been allowed to have equal access to doctors, to experts, to people who say you cannot ban abortion because abortion is a medical procedure on a spectrum. It means a lot of things because it's not one thing, it's a care. For people who are going through, who have reproductive needs, getting care, and that care has a spectrum. It is a medical spectrum of procedures and coverage to keep people safe. And they treated that like it's a monolith that you can just get rid of. And the media allowed that asymmetry, right? You had one side of doctors, experts, people who actually give birth saying this is the position, and the other side was like, I have an extremist position that's untethered to reality, but that's the way I that's what I want. And they were allowed to, and so that allowance of saying those are equal things allowed that to maintain for so long, and then hit up against reality when they got it.
And it reminds me, as well as some of the points that you're noting, is the way in which often, like I'm thinking of what you're noting about with the Mass Fiscal Alliance gets quoted, is that you'll have, let's say, Governor Moore Healey do something that's like not particular, that's something that's not particularly progressive, but enough so to really to that Mass Fiscal Alliance opposes that. So you'll have her position in Mass Fiscal Alliance. It's like the high like when Moore when Healey had a hiring freeze. It was wild to me when there were some stories that like had just Healey's hiring freeze and Mass Fiscal Alliance complaining about this isn't enough and that she was just like, as opposed to acknowledging like,
Yeah.
why are we doing this in the first place? We
Right.
have a rich state. We can raise money to do whatever we want.
Right. The only people who raised the tax cut connected to it were us online responding to it.
Yeah.
Not a single reporter called any of the organizations that exist that could easily have been quoted to say they could have
Yeah.
quoted anybody who on like all of the people who retweeted it were all quotable before an article went out, but
Yeah.
they don't. They don't, and there's no editor. Like, I think that's the thing is it's a system-wide decision to platform one side extremism and have the other side be the only governing party, the only piece that's actually
Yeah.
governing.
Which does make, I mean, we are a one-party state. So it makes me curious about more Republican one-party states. My guess is that the media does not like pull in left-wing, you know, people to talk about it just
I'm
because
sure
the
not.
Republican Party
Yeah.
is the
I
dominant.
doubt in Mississippi they get the same, like socialists get the same level of coverage in Mississippi media as does the extremists here in Massachusetts do.
Exactly. Do you want to tell us a little bit about childcare in Worcester?
Yeah, I think the other piece, so this all, a lot of this, my thinking about this started because I unfortunately regularly read the Worcester Chamber of Commerce newspaper to get a sense of what, I try to read as many wide things as possible. And it had a very modest proposal for it. It said it made the case that childcare is critical to growth and to for jobs, which it was like, I was like, oh, I totally agree with this. And then it was like, we have a proposal, and the proposal was like some really small program that would affect like 10 people. But it was not, nothing. They were like, we have a proposal for childcare. And then there was no, like, how would you pay for it? Like, there's no, ex and they don't even, they're not even, they don't even think about how to pay for it. Like, they're just like, there should be this thing. And then the rest of the paper is dedicated to getting rid of taxes, to complain about different taxes that have been put on by the state and by the city to help pay for things that we already have. It's just to oppose all of those taxations. And the media quoted their childcare proposal, but there's never, They don't say at any point, right? They're not quoting anybody to say, like, they'll quote people saying that childcare is important. They'll platform the chamber's idea on it. They'll, you know, so basically they're doing PR for the chamber by saying, like, look, they're reasonable partners and they platform their really modest idea, and they don't have, and the quotes are all people saying how important childcare is, but they're not quoting experts saying, like, this proposal does nothing. And they're also not touting anybody. They're not adding any context, which is that the chamber opposes any ways to pay for it. Right? So all of the context and all of the things about it are missing, and they're allowed to do that. But you just do not see that in other places around, you know, you wouldn't have a story about raising taxes on millionaires where the only thing are quoted are a few millionaires and leftists. About what, really, like, there's not that type of thing, and there isn't even access to leftists in most of the media, right? The media, only the voices that are in the media are center, maybe center left, and far right. And I think taxation is a really good example of this. Like, so when every tax date happens, the media regularly platforms tax extremists, people who absolutely oppose any form of taxation. They oppose everything, right? Like, anytime somebody wants to raise a tax, anytime somebody says something should be taxed, they absolutely oppose it. You cannot point to a tax that these groups have said, yes, that's fair, that makes sense, that's reasonable. That is platformed next to people who are asking for some sort of change, a small change in it to better pay for the things we do, right? Like, small adjustments to try to govern our society, right? Like, that's juxtaposed with, like, an extremist. But they don't have people who are like, tax millionaires at 100%, arrest billionaires, right? Like, they're not platforming leftists. They're platforming people who are trying to govern and juxtaposing them with the far right extremists.
Who have no plan that could ever govern.
Right,
That's the point.
no, right. There's nothing, none of their ideas are possible.
Right.
But in terms of the way that the chamber gets viewed, it reminds me of how the chamber for, I presume still, but has a history of funding, let's say, like, climate denial, where climate denial advocacy. And it's like, why are you being treated as, let's say, like, a good faith partner in governance by so many people? By, like, so many, like, the way that Democrats always do the round of talking about the chamber and treat the chamber as, like, as a vital part of the ecosystem, when they are, like, some of the main players in advocating for the planet to burn.
I know. And
Jonathan,
Jeff,
as well as with that it's, like, very clear of how often what the chamber does is advocating for the largest of businesses while pretending that they're advocating for small businesses as well, and they'd be more than happy to have policies that put small businesses out of business.
You had also talked a little bit about how we are the media, the way that the media portrays things, and how it compares sort of to different parties in Europe, where a lot of times they're allowed to have more than two parties, right? So they're allowed to have more voices speaking, whereas we have a two-party system. And so there really is just the Republicans and the Democrats.
It's what makes it often interesting when it comes to, let's say, like, partisan differences, because a lot of things that get negotiated in the context of a coalition in European countries get basically negotiated within one party here. And the thing that I've noted that I always find it funny when you have people like, when some folks on the left will complain and say that the Democratic Party in the US is basically like a right-wing party in Europe. And I always like to push back, in part because the Labour Party in the UK exists, which is always a joke, which, like, somehow always manages to make the Democratic Party look good by comparison.
I don't know. They had their moments under Corbyn when they started
Yeah,
to
like that, they
yeah,
had a
small
moment.
moment.
They had a
Yeah.
small moment. One might call it a fleeting second, that the Labour Party had. But the, what is much more accurately so is that what exists under the Democratic Party in the US is often what exists in the context of, like, a grand coalition government in Europe, where you have social democrats and you have the Christian Democrats, the party of the center left and the party of the center right, in the times where they end up in coalition together, with, let's say, like, the main opposition to that being, like, this right wing violently anti-immigrant party that they don't want to keep in government, that they don't want to allow into the government. And, like, that's what's much more comparable. And then it becomes, like, It's not acknowledged in the same way of how what the kind of bundle of positions held in the Republican Party is just so out of the pale and is often much more comparable to the parties that were like the legacy of the fascist parties in Europe that others didn't want to keep and didn't want to enter government. And to some extent, the way that the Democratic Party kind of represents the bundle of like of a center left and center right to me seems like there's almost a way in which that's still like a Cold War holdover of what the US wanted to exist as like a kind of liberal democratic center in Europe against the fight against commun and like in a fight against communism. But it's still just striking about like positions that just aren't in good company in many European countries that are only entering that at, with a rise of like particularly virulent anti-immigrant sentiment are just mainstreamed by the Republican Party here.
Yeah, like I think I just want to highlight what Jonathan's saying, which is like the media is complicit in taking extremist positions and extremist party and treating it the same as a governing party. And the problem is that only one party in America is holding all of the governing. And it is, and that's the expectation. And that's like dangerous for both democracy, but also for trying to pass things that matter. Because if you there's not there's not like you know, there's not a serious other, you know, they're like they like this both sidesism, but there's not they're not a they're not tethered to anything. They don't need to do, you know, if you're their policies are unworkable, they're not serious, they're not even trying to propose things. And this is the entirety of the conservative mind field at this moment in policy. There aren't serious policies being pushed to reasonably make people's lives better. They have policies to take away rights and like get power, but that's it. There's not any desire to do anything with it.
Destroy the
It's
government, right? Like a lot of their policies on the national level are and the local and state level are to just stop all funding of the government, make the government utterly incapable of doing anything, which, you know, it doesn't line up with their pro police, pro, you know, military. Like this
It's
stuff
not
has to come from somewhere.
right, but they don't, and there's no expect, and the media never makes an expectation to say, how do you pay for these things? Right. So you'll regularly see people run for office who say, I will lower taxes and have more money for education and police. That is a literal math problem. That's in like you've failed math. And the media will quote that. They'll just quote it. And they won't con and to some extent, I understand like they're put in a bind, like they have to quote it, but they won't contextualize it. They won't have an expert say, that's not how math works. They won't have a leftist quoted saying, actually, we should divert all the money for the policing to education, right? There's not literally a quote you can find in those pieces about when somebody's running for office, right? Those political pieces. It's always like the voices are always skewing. And I think that's when we're trying to figure out what's happening to Massachusetts Democrats. To me, this is what hap this is like the part of the problem is the Democratic Party in Massachusetts is holding conservatives and trying to tell leftists to be quiet, right? Like that's it's and it's so it's trying to so it placates the business interests because the conservatives that and the businesses the infrastructure that those businesses fund are extremists and don't govern and don't have a plan to govern. So they expect the Democratic Party to listen to those people and but not actually, right, but still do some governing that they don't want to do,
And
right?
what's
They
funny is
will.
how the Democratic Party, this is not like the triangulation of 1992, right? This is
No.
not like they need the money and they have to go to or else they will be defeated by the Republicans. Like this is a Democratic Party that has super majorities, veto-proof
Yes.
majorities in
And
both houses. They don't have to do this. They don't
right,
need to
but if they
support
try to move any
businesses.
direction, they immediately get admonished, right? The minute they try to
Immediately.
act on behalf of people, they immediately get mo admonished by the Boston Globe, by you know, you'll get Matt Stout will go immediately to Paul Carney and platform on WBUR. right-wing extremism, and then he's just a our local NPR reporters are basically stenographers. They'll just print their press releases, and then and you'll and then you'll and then so they just like immediately admonishes, right? Like you'll see this on rent control. You won't When was the last time there was a rent control article that had experts from economists from the left? I can't remember one. I mean, I'm sure there is, but they're rare. It's almost always extremists, people who have business interests, somebody who's like, I can't afford to live here, and a legislator, right? Like that's the plat that's the like that's the equation. And that's not a real accounting, because the other side to that isn't like we have a policies to make housing more affordable. It's just go fuck yourself. Right? Like that's the right. It's the same thing with education. It's like we want to make education better for people. The things we're doing aren't working. And the opposition is like, but businesses want more money for education. So let's platform their ideas, even though they don't work. They've been proven to not work. They've actually exacerbated the very thing that they claim to they're like, oh, we need to cut the gap, but the gap gets worse every time their ideas get put in implemented. So it's just they again, it's just this absolute asymmetry punishes the Democratic Party for doing the thing it should be doing, which is advocating for the people who elect it.
And I'm going to jump in here because you did say one thing about taxation. You said, in all the media landscape across Massachusetts, we were the one place that was like pushing back about taxation and asking these real questions. So
Yes.
I'm going to go ahead and have not just me, but I'm going to ask you each to put in a comment about why people should donate to this program. They should, and really send us your ideas as well. Send us your ideas. That have to do with how could we get this program and this information to more people. So send us your information, but please do donate to the show. Jordan and Jonathan, any last words about media and how we fit into it and how people can support us?
Jonathan, I do want to I want you to highlight the thing you said beforehand about Martha Koch, about the Governor Healey and the recent sort of coverage around the hiring freeze that you said, I think, before we press record.
No, I did say that, I think I said that
Oh,
during this.
you did
Yeah.
say it during it. Wow, I'm a little bit everywhere.
No worries.
I'll just say really quickly, since I'm a little, I guess, not with it, but I'll say. I just think this is really important that people support media that's serious about diving into issues, which is what we do. Like you are going, no place else is going to talk about the Governor's Council. No place else is going to get into the deep understanding of rent control. Like you're just not seeing, you're not hearing the types of things, and that is not easy. We have really amazing people. We give our time for free, but we have really amazing people who help support that, and your donation helps make that possible. And if you spread the word, if you share this with somebody, that's really important. And if you give us ideas, like we've had people who just messaged us on Facebook or on Instagram and said, hey, can you cover this? And we were like, yeah, come on and talk about it. We would love to have you. So do come communicate with us, share this, spread this. It does not have to be this way.
The cases that we do a lot of great deep dives into different parts of state and local government that people might are like very unlikely to find elsewhere, because oftentimes they get glossed over in media coverage, or you just like hear about something in passing, but you don't see people actually meaningfully engage with what this means, what it means for people, and why it happened in the first place. And I think that one of the most important things to have is like an informed and engaged public, because you can only hold elected officials accountable if you know what's actually going on. And I think that like people should support us so that we can continue to do that and continue to do it well.
Well, thank you all so much. We love having all you listeners. We love it when you comment and let us know your thoughts and anyone else that you think we should interview on here. And we look forward to talking with you all next week.